Welcome into the In the Money podcast for Keeneland's Thursday card, October 9th. Tom Leach along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. As we take a look at the late pick four, no stake on the Thursday card, but a couple of nice allowance races in this late pick four. But it starts with a maiden race, Jim, and it's always nice when they're on the front end of this. Two-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th. Who'd you like in here?
Yeah, in this particular maiden race, everybody is run except Taylor Time, the 7 horse for Tom Amos. So they've all had a trip over the over a track, and you've got some history there. And because of that, Kalos Comet to me is a standout in here. I didn't single her because I'm going to do some stuff later on, but she to me, the race at Ellis has turned out to be key because Paving won it. Kalos Comet runs second by 2.5 and beat the third place horse by 3.75, and Sister Troyanne came back and won next time out. So that was a really good maiden special weight at 6 furlongs at Ellis Park. They stretch out to a mile and 16th, 2 turns for the first time, but they're all doing 2 turns pretty much for the first time. So Kalos Comet's my favorite. I'm going to use Taylor Time, the first-time starter for Tom Amos. He's 14% first-time starters, and it's a not-this-time, and those not-this-times have been extremely hot these past few weeks. So Taylor Time, for me, is my second choice, and then my third choice on the outside, really good work last time out at Churchill for Measure, the 9 horse for Mark Cassie. Mark Cassie is 18% maiden second starts. So this horse was stuck in the 10-hole last time out of the 11 horses. Got off slow, which is typical for a two-year-old filly. If she gets out of the gate better and doesn't get hung wide, that 58 buyer stands up pretty well against everybody except for Kalos Comet. So Measure would be my third choice in here. Going 3 deep, but Kalos Comet is my choice.
I'm going to try to beat Kalos Comet with Measure. That first time out, or the last time out, bad start for Measure, but still finished up strong and was fifth out of 11 horses in the race. And then you mentioned the really sharp work. I'm going to take the other Cassie as well, just because the pedigree's there for Melody Maker, the 2, to stretch out and to handle dirt. And Cassie is 19% on the turf to dirt switch. So I'm not going to let the other Cassie beat me. And then I'll use Kayla's comment for the reasons that you mentioned. So I will go 3 deep to start out the late pick 4. 8th race is a second level allowance. Fillies and mares 3 and up on the turf at a mile and a 16th. Turf going to have some more give into it after all the rain that it took on Tuesday. The 3, Reagan's Flame is where I ended up landing. 2nd by 3/4 at Kentucky Downs last month. And maybe getting back to her best form, improved in the second try running on turf. The dam sire, Mizzenmast, loved some cut in the ground, which should be in play for Reagan's Flame here. So I'm going to take Reagan's Flame in here. Not a strong opinion. The 1, Cima de Areco, is undefeated coming up out of Argentina, but I did a Zoom interview with Graham Motion, talking to him mainly about his stakes horse, Loreline, in the QE2 Saturday. But we talked about this one as well, and he said he didn't really know what to expect. She's been off since November. He said that sometimes it takes a while for these horses coming up from South America to put it all together. He said he reached out to Nacho Correas for some advice on it. And he said, might be a work or two short. So with all of that, I'm going to try to beat her. She might just be classy enough to win while not even being at her best. But I'm going to take her 2nd and then partier for Riley Mott, who's off to a good start. He said they were going to be doing a little rain dance, and they got it. For this horse that ran well, her best race really here at Keeneland in the spring when there was some moisture in the turf course. So they were happy to see the rain, and that increases her chances. And then Malibu, I'm going to put on the ticket. She's one that really, I'm not going to use on the ticket, but you might consider. And that the fact is she doesn't really like to win is what is my knock for her. But there is some ability there, certainly. So how'd you see the 8th race?
Well, I am going to use Malibu, but my top pick is the horse that you mentioned for my Riley Mott. Partier loves the soft turf, ran well in France. And there's one race in October 24 where it's a heavy turf, and she won that race. with a 98 time for him. And so she comes over here and catches a yielding course in April here at Keeneland and ran very well in an allowance race. Got beat by Sweet Rebecca, which is a really good filly at the time. And then came back the last two at Colonial and Churchill. Not been impressive, but she got money both times. I love my Morning Line Maker, but there's no way you're getting 12-1 on a Riley Mott horse here with Johnny Velasquez up. So, but I'm going to take Partier on top. I'm going to use Reagan's Flame for Lindsey Schultz. I'm going to use the Argentinian horse, probably defensively. There's no way I would bet that horse at 5-2. I don't care if she is 4-4 in Venezuela or in Argentina. So coming up here for Gaffley on Emotion, he just said that she's probably not going to be quite ready. So defensively using, though, and Malimu is the fourth one that I would use. But Partier is my pick.
Ninth race is a first-level allowance for three-year-olds on the main track at 7 furlongs. How do you see this one?
I see this one as I've got to take a stand here. And I took a stand with the 10-horse Pursuit Never Sleeps for Dale Romans. And some people may see this 68 buyer two back and think this horse just kind of freaked last time at Ellis. You can draw a line completely through that 68 because this horse doesn't have any business going two turns. If you take that one out, you've got a 93 buyer maiden special weight debut at Gulfstream. Came back on a sloppy track at Churchill and backed that up with a 93 buyer. And then last time out at Ellis had a 92 buyer. And she's a sprinter. He's a sprinter through and through out of Ghost Zapper. Don't know why in the world you would stretch somebody out to a mile and a 16th, but three-year-old, I guess you'd think that they're going to that they're just going to be better. But this horse is a sprinter. This race goes to 7 furlongs. I think it hits him right between the eyes. And I'm going to single Pursuit Never Sleeps. The other horse that I considered in here, just because of Larry Ravelli, his propensity for having young horses ready early, and this was proven at Indiana Grand with Trey Italiani. Had an 86 buyer, almost went wire to wire, and won by 2 lengths, but Indiana Grand is not Keeneland, so I'm going to think this one may suffer from the step up, and I just think Pursuit Never Sleeps, to me, is as obvious a single as I could find on the card, so going to take a stand with Dale Romans and Corey Lannery.
Yeah, that's who I have on top as well. And you gave all the good reasons. I will add one more is that she broke her maiden in her second start on Derby Day. And for Romans to have one ready to win on Derby Day, that suggests that you know, he's got a high opinion of that horse to put him in that spot and have it be ready to run like that. So I think Pursuit Never Sleep probably wins this, but there are some others I'm intrigued with a little bit. Multiverse also ran on Derby Day and was third to Patch Adams that day in a really good field. So something close to that effort could make him a contender. BU, it's Pletcher, and this horse was entered off a win in the Bluegrass Stakes last year. And, didn't win, obviously, but they certainly had a high opinion of that one. Trey Italiani that you mentioned, going to include that one. And then I'm also going to use the 8-horse. It's GT500. It's Maker. And I figure his barn's going to heat up here at some point. Just in case, I'm going to put that one on the ticket. And then that brings us to race 10. Claimers, non-winners of 2 lifetime at the 20K level here. Fillies and mares 3 and up. If likely perspective draws in, that's my pick. The last two have been improved efforts. Stahl has good numbers going turf to dirt. Gaffley-owned rides. I think that one's a really strong contender if she draws in. Handed Over, I think, is interesting in here. Improved in the Walsh barn in 4 starts and has speed. And the 6, Musical Player. Aspison's horse has been running a little better than they typically do at the Keeneland Fall Meet. And he's adding blinkers here. That's a solid enough angle numbers-wise for him. And then the 11, Ride the Broom. Level at the race at the 50K, non-winners of 2 other than level on August the 4th at Ellis was decent enough. In a race, especially if likely perspective doesn't draw in, that I really don't have a strong opinion, I'm going to add that one to the ticket as well. How about you for race 10?
As strong of an opinion as I had in race 9, I have zero opinion in race 10. I went through this race 3 times, and I looked at the horses you looked at. Ride the Broom was probably the better one because she's dropping from maiden or from claiming 50,000 down to 20,000. That may not necessarily be a good sign because she got drilled last time out at Churchill. Every one of these horses has a reason why they're going to lose the race, and I couldn't find the horse that has a reason why she's going to win the race. They're all running mid-50s buyers. You go back and they're, you know, even I Am Beautiful, 21 for Le Peru, Ron Moquette, 22 buyer last time out, 19 buyer before that, but then she had a 72 in her maiden breaker at Oakland. Nobody else has run 72 in here, and she's 21. So guess what I'm going to do? Hit the all button. If somebody asks me my opinion of this race tomorrow, I'm going to say, I got no clue. So I'm going to go all.
Not a bad strategy. So what are you going to do when you come to doing your pick four ticket with that all button?
All right. Got 179 with 1357 with 10 with all. 72 bucks. And I agree, though, if the 13 does draw in, I would use a 13, and it would change my opinion of this race because I think the 13 is much better than anything in the race.
I have a $60 ticket, 127 with 13 with 178, 10, 12. If Pursuit Never Sleeps isn't the right one, then I think it's a little more wide open. So I elected not to single him. And then 4, 6, 11, 13 on the back end for a $60 ticket. Best of luck on the Thursday card. There is a turf pick 3. It starts in race 4. Wasn't one on the Wednesday card, but there is one on Thursday. Starts in race 4. That's any day when there's at least 3 turf races. You'll get a chance to do that $3 turf pick 3. And, oh, Jim, I had the runner-up in the last race on Sunday for $1,500 on the turf pick 3 if he just had been able to find his way to the winner's circle.
it's a fun bet. Yeah, it is a great bet, and the value is always there. I mean, even sometimes when you go 3 chalks, it pays better than the parlay, but simply because it's hard to cover enough combinations with that $3 base wager, and that makes it pay even better.
Best of luck to everybody if you're playing on Thursday, and we will be back for the Friday edition of the In the Money podcast for KeenelandSelect.com.